Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good evening and welcome to our midweek service here at Grace Family Church in Jasper. Hallelujah. We're so glad you could be with us this evening. We're so excited. We're always excited to spend time with Jesus, to spend time at His feet, to hear His words. Because His words are life to those that find them. Health, medicine to their flesh. Praise God. We welcome all of our church family, all of our friends out there. And those of you who may be joining us for the very first time, whether you're watching us live or you come across us at a later date, we welcome you. You know, there's no time nor distance in the spirit realm. God is a spirit. God is eternal. His words are spirit. They are eternal. Hallelujah. That's the beauty of the Word of God. It's an incorruptible seed. It lives and it abides forever. So join with me. Get in agreement with me tonight. Let's pray. Let's get in agreement here concerning the next few minutes. And let's believe for heaven's best tonight. Father, we thank you so much as we approach your word. We know, Lord, that you are the living word, Lord Jesus. And yet we know that your words reveal to us who you really are. Reveals your thoughts, your ways, your heart. We thank you tonight as we approach your word. We open up our hearts. We do so with humility, with reverence and honor. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our helper. Thank you for giving utterance. Thank you for bringing light, illumination, revelation, impartation to the people. Thank you that bodies will be healed in Jesus' name tonight because of the word of God that goes forth. The power of your word, demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We thank you for it, Lord. We give you all the praise and honor, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Glory to God. Well, we're going to pick back up where we've been the last previous Wednesday nights. I appreciate Sean standing in for me last Wednesday night. Did a wonderful job. Matter of fact, I was on vacation out of town, and I was watching it myself on my smartphone here, praise God. And I was excited for some things that he was sharing. Hallelujah. So we're going to go back and pick up some things that we started. We started a series on Wednesday night called Establish Your Heart. Establish Your Heart. So I want you to go in your Bibles with me to the book of James, the 5th chapter, James chapter 5. Let's look at this. Verse 7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the brethren. He's talking to the church. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain." Now look at verse 8. "Be ye also patient." You see, God's patient. But James is writing here, he's talking to the church. He says, "You be patient also." Now notice this phrase. "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." I like to say it like this. This is an end time scripture. This is a scripture that tells us before the coming of the Lord, there's something that we're admonished as believers to do, and that is to have our hearts established. Well, we know our hearts are established upon the Word of God. You remember Jesus talked about a wise man and a foolish man in the book of Matthew. And he said, a wise man will build his house upon the rock. A foolish man builds his house upon the sand. And yet, the issues of life, the storms of life, the winds of life, the storm, wind, and the rain comes not just to foolish man, but to the wise man also. Nobody can promise you that you're going to float through life on flowery beds of ease. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. We can be of good cheer especially, and we can be patient. You know, patience is a fruit of the Spirit of God in your life. But we can be patient and we can have our hearts established upon the rock. Jesus talked about the man that is wise. He heeds or hearkens unto his words, his sayings. And not only does he listen to them, he puts them into practice in his life. And he says, the man who won't hear the word of God and won't allow the word to be a part of his life, he said, that's a foolish man. And he said, when the rains come and the storms come to that house will fall and great will be the fall of it. So we want to establish our hearts, especially in these last days, because we all know that there's a lot of things going on around us. And it's increasing and it's waxing worse and worse. But not for the church. Oh, glory to God. So, we've been looking at scriptures in the Bible. Scriptures that I have penned down. These are, I think I mentioned to you, over 140 references of scriptures. Nearly 150 references of scriptures. And these scriptures have been key scriptures in my life that I've looked at over the years. And continue to look at. I mean, on a daily basis. I mean, I look at these scriptures. And I let my eyes feed upon them. I open my heart to them. Oh, glory to God. Because it establishes my heart. I want these things on the inside of me. And I want to walk in these things. You know, for time's sake, we talked about over in 3 John. John wrote it and he said, I have no greater joy than to hear and to know that my children not only know the truth and are establishing the truth, but they're walking in that truth. See, that's inspired by the Holy Ghost. That's the Father's heart. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. And the truth, or the revelation, the knowing of that truth on the inside of you, will set you free. It'll keep you free. Hallelujah. So, it's very important. We also looked at what Peter said in his second epistle. He said, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Grace and peace is multiplied to our lives through the knowledge of God and through Jesus, the knowledge and revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on to say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. These are scriptures. And through these and by these scriptures, we are able to partake of the divine nature. And we're able to escape the very corruption that's in this world. How? By establishing our heart. By going to these promises and having these promises planted on the inside of us. You know, Jesus likened the word to seed. The sower sows the word. Glory to God. So, and he said it grows up and becomes greater. You can go to bed tonight. You put the word of God in your heart. You set it at the feet of Jesus. You know, you've heard me say this before. Sometimes when you're doing stuff online, you know, people get a lot of other things going on at the same time. I tell people, come out of the kitchen, praise God. Sit down. Get still. Give your attention, your full attention to it. Allow it to penetrate and get on the inside of you. And get your heart established. Oh, praise the Lord. So, let's go back. We're going to go back in the Old Covenant. We started out in the book of Psalms, went through Proverbs. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Isaiah. We didn't quite get through, and there's a couple other scriptures that we want to try to get through, maybe tonight, through the rest of the Old Covenant, of some key scriptures. Now, listen, when I say key scriptures, that doesn't mean we're covering every scripture. I mean, there are many, many scriptures that I still go to and look at that I've not got recorded here for these purposes. And let me say this. I mean, a lot of these scriptures, most of these scriptures, I could take one scripture and spend at least a service on it. Most of them I could do a series of services on it. But that's not the purpose of what we're doing here. I've had this in my heart when we started this, and so we're just going to trust the Holy Ghost to help us say what we need to say. And then you can come back and look at these scriptures yourself. I know many of you have already looked at these. But, you know, as a faithful minister of the script of the Word of God, Peter, Paul both said that Peter said, I would not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, even though you know them. You know, he said, as long as I'm in this earth suit, I'm gonna continue to put you in remembrance and remind you of things that you already know. And Paul said it like this in Philippians. He said, for me to speak the same things to you, not something different, the same things to you. It's not grievous to me. It's safe for you. Why? Because you get it established in you. It gets down on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to start there. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Praise the Lord. We finished up in Isaiah 54. I mean, that's a chapter, Isaiah 53 and 54, we could have spent a lot of time in. But we're going to move on to Isaiah 55. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 8. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Now, if you back up in verse 7, he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." So when he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," he's talking to the wicked man, and he's talking to the unrighteous man. You know, but we've established, especially on our Sunday services, about the ministry of the Holy Ghost, that the things that eye has not seen nor ear heard, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, he said, God has revealed those things to us by his Spirit. Even the deep things the Spirit searches out for us, to benefit us, to reveal them to us, to make known to us. Things that are not just on the surface. I'm talking about the thoughts and the ways of God. You know, Jesus told the disciples in the upper room, he said, you know, I no longer call you servants. I call you my friends. You know, a master does not withhold that from his friends. He said, I'm not withholding anything from you. Now, there were times when he couldn't say things to them. They were not ready for it. But he did later on. You know, he met with them after his resurrection. And, of course, by the Holy Ghost, he ministered things to them, just like he does to us today. But he's not in the withholding business. Our Father loves us. Romans 8 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us just a couple of things, some things, most things? No, how shall he not freely with him also give us all things? He loves you. He wants you in the know. You know, a lot of times people will take this scripture and they'll say, well, you know, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. No, not for the wicked man, not for an unrighteous man. But when you get born of him, born of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood, you get his DNA on the inside of you. You become a new creation, a new creature, a new created being on the inside of you, sealed with the third person of the Godhead. The very life and nature of God is in you. The life that was in him, that was the light of men and the light of this world, it's in you now. You have this treasure in an earthen vessel. What? What? Know you not? Do you not know and understand that the Spirit of God, God himself, lives in you? Oh, praise God. See, the Spirit knows all things. Not some things. And he can communicate and show you things, and guide you into all truth. That's what Jesus said in John 16, 13. He didn't say he'd guide you in some of the truth. He can guide you into all truth. So let's look at this. Let's don't get religious and disqualify ourselves from being able to receive what the Father has for us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So let's look here. He says in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I don't disagree with that. Keep reading. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Look at verse 11. This is where I wanted to get to. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Do you know that Psalm 107 tells us that God sent his word to us to deliver and to heal us? God sent his word to us. Now we know the word became flesh. His name was Jesus. But he came to bring us salvation. He came so that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. That's the purpose, the intent. God sent his word to accomplish something. God sent his word to prosper to the thing whereto he sent it. Well, he sent it to you and me. God wants his word to prosper in your life. That's why the Word of God is so important. Oh, hallelujah. That's why Jesus said in the parable of the sower, the wayside ground is really the type of ground where people do not esteem the Word of God. They do not understand. They do not understand the Word, understand the importance of the Word. They do not value that Word. They do not esteem it. And I think Luke said that they just trod it under their feet. That, just like when Jesus said, you don't cast pearls before swine. Wow, they don't care. They just step on it in the mud. It's not important to them. See, that's the first thing the enemy tries to do. He comes to steal the Word. You remember in the garden? What did he say to Adam and Eve? Hath God said? He comes immediately to get that Word, to take the Word away from you. See, God sends His Word. God has purpose with His Word in your life. He wants to, His Word to accomplish things for you. You remember, we didn't read it tonight, but we did in our previous services. Peter talked about these exceeding great and precious promises, the Word of God. It's by the Word, it's through the Word that you partake of some super on your natural. It's how you get a hold of something that's divine and see it manifest and operate in your life. You plant this Word in your heart. You get it on the inside of you. Just like God sends the rain and the snow, causes it to bring forth seed and bread. It brings forth fruit. God's Word will accomplish and bring forth things in your life and my life. Just like every seed has the ability and the power in that seed to produce what that seed is. If you've got a scripture, a word about healing for your body, there's the power and the ability in that seed, in that promise, in that scripture to manifest healing in your body. If you have needs in your life, financial need, if you need wisdom, with your marriage, it doesn't matter. God has seeds. God's Word covers every situation in our life. He sent His Word to accomplish things for us. You know, I tell people this, Jesus and God were doing fine before he sent His Word to us. He did everything for us. For God so loved the world that He gave. He planted. He sent the Word to us. Oh, glory to God. So, the reason I say these things is we have to see and recognize the importance of the Word of God. That's why we looked at in Proverbs chapter 4. We spent time when we was in the book of Proverbs. We started out in Psalm chapter 1. Oh, glory to God. The person who gives honor and reverence and respect to the Word of God, that person's leaf will not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Why? Because the Word of God is intended to prosper. Now, let's go to Jeremiah. You're right there. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Praise the Lord. There's many things we could continue to say about this, but we're going to continue to go ahead and move forward. But this sort of connects with what we were just talking about. I'm going to back up here. I'm going to read a few scriptures. These are wonderful scriptures. Verse 5, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know, a little side note here. This is not the scripture I'm getting to. We're going to look at verse 12 specifically. But here, I want to bring this out. You know, the Lord knows you and me. He knew us before we were born. Not just Jeremiah. He knew you. He loved you. He wants you here. You're not per chance or you're not by accident. I don't care if your mother did not want to get pregnant at the time she got pregnant with you. See, there's something greater. There's something bigger in the works. There's something going on behind the scenes. Hallelujah. We can see it right here. See, God has purpose. God has intent. If you weren't supposed to be here, you wouldn't be here. I can promise you that, according to the Word. Hallelujah. Thank God you're here. I'm telling you, the devil's a liar. And there may be some of you that are watching or come across this, and you may have been thinking, my life's a mess. What really purpose do I have? What good am I? I mean, I look at so-and-so, I look at others, and, you know, I can see where maybe, you know, they benefit and are a blessing to society, but I'm a zero with a rim knocked off. No, you're listening to the wrong thought. That's not even you. That's a fiery dart, according to Ephesians chapter 6. It's come. It's a scheme. It's a plot. Not only to depress you, but to oppress you and to bring oppression. See, he's come after the word. But see, just stay with me. We're going to go and we're going to establish our hearts with the truth and reality. He knew you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. He has purpose for you. So if you will just open up your heart and say, Lord, I don't know about all this, but I'm willing to trust you with my heart. See, you have to get out of your head. You can't lean till you understand. And you can't try to reason and figure things out in your life. You have to trust God and acknowledge him from your heart. When you start believing from your heart in him, that's when things change for good. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Hallelujah. He said, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. You know, I'm gonna keep going with this. Sometimes we look at ourselves in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says, we're to know no man in the flesh. You're not to look at yourself in the flesh. You need to look at yourself in him, in Christ now. You need to see you're a joint heir. You're one with him in spirit. You need to acknowledge who you are spiritually first and foremost. See, you always start from the inside out. That's why I made reference to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 earlier. Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit. See, he starts with the innermost being first. And soul and body be preserved blameless. Most of the world starts with the body first. You even have songs called Body and Soul. That's not a put down to people. I'm not trying to put down people, or I'm not putting down the song. I'm just saying God looks at the inward man. It's the hidden man of the heart, 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, the meek and quiet spirit. That's the most important part of you. Glory to God. And so we need to acknowledge things from our spirit man. I'm sure Jeremiah was looking at himself, just like a lot of times we look at ourselves and we look at our inabilities. We're like, oh, Lord God, I can't do this. I can't speak. I'm just me. And the Lord said, don't say that. See, I'm encouraging you by the Holy Ghost. Allow the Holy Ghost. Be like the psalmist that says, Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Set a watch over my mouth, Lord. Holy Spirit, check me that I don't say things that would be a hindrance to my life, that would not be in agreement with what Jesus has paid for, that he's given me through and by his life and through and by his precious blood. Help me not to say things that are contrary to that. We'll see a scripture that works with this here just shortly if we can get to it. Praise God. But he said this. He said, don't say that. Don't say you're a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. God don't want you to be afraid. He don't want you to be intimidated by people. He loves you. He has plan and purpose for you, just like he had for Jeremiah. He said, be not afraid, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Oh, glory to God. The greatest things you can do is go to the Father and allow him to put his words in your heart and in your mouth. Down here in the South, we say it like this, it don't get no better. than to allow your heart to be established in God's word. And then you begin to speak the word of God out of your mouth. The promise. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. One translation says, I will watch over my word to perform it. God hastens. God watches over his word. Our responsibility is to open up our heart, open up our ears. You remember Jesus said, if any man hath ears to hear. He's talking about the ears and the eyes of your heart, your understanding. Having an attitude. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. One translation says, let this attitude be in you. You know, Jesus had a certain attitude when it came to his Father's words. You know, a lot of times we get into things like this. I was thinking about this earlier. I was in here just earlier praying, walking around praying. And, you know, I thought about this because a lot of times when you cover certain things, you know, I mentioned earlier how Peter and Paul said, you know, for me to speak the same things to you, for me to not be negligent, to put you in remembrance of things, even though you know these things. You know, you still have to have the right attitude about that. Because some people, when you start to minister the word, or they come to a service and so-and-so's not preaching, the pastor's not there, or brother so-and-so, the traveling minister that we went to see, he's not there. Then if somebody else stands up and speaks, people are disappointed. People tune out. People, you know, they leave the live feed. You know what that is? That's a wrong attitude. Some people think, well, man, you know, I know, but I've heard that. I've heard that before. I know, but I've heard that. I've already heard that. Have you? So we've got all the revelation. So God's not able at that moment, just because you've known that scripture, heard that sermon before, that he can't by his spirit at that moment bring something new or come from a different angle to help you in your life, to bring some revelation that might be the very answer or the key. Even if it's not for what you were dealing with yesterday, you think he knows what's ahead in 3 months from now? Can your heart be established? See, Jesus had an attitude. He had a humble heart, and he loved to hear his Father's words. I don't think Jesus ever told his Father, I know, I've already heard that. Father, I've heard that before. I know what you said. I've heard that from you before. We have no record of that. You know why? Because there was a certain mindset. There was a certain attitude that he had. Let me tell you something. God watches over his word. There's nothing more important. The Bible says that he's magnified his word even above his name. That's powerful, powerful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Go to the ninth chapter. Oh, I got to keep moving here. Y'all ready? The reason I take a little more time with this is because in my life, it's just my life. It changed my life. The Word of God changed my life. And it's the very thing that keeps me in a place of peace. It ministers to me. It's life to me. It's medicine to my flesh. Glory to God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. This is an important scripture that I want you to look at. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith who? Need to pay attention, don't we? Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know what God wants you to glory in? You know what God prizes above all things is that you know him. Jesus said in John 17:3, he said, this is life eternal, that you know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. God gave me that scripture when I first started out in the ministry many, many years ago. And actually, I started out in children's ministry, children's pastor. And that was a scripture that the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said the most important thing that a parent would want for their children was for their children to have eternal life. Everlasting life, eternal life. Now see, sometimes when we think about eternal life or everlasting life, we're just thinking about living forever. No, you're a spirit being. People who are not even born again and die lost will live everlasting. They will live forever. Their spirit will never die. Okay? We're talking about eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus. You remember, the Bible tells us in 1 John 4 that God is love. That's what God is. You go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16, you'll see that God is love. And the person who knows God is a person who understands and knows love. See, this is what God delights in. He wants you to know about his loving kindness and his righteousness, who he is. All the other things in life that people think are more important, he lists a few of them here. And there's a lot of people that have this attitude about themselves. The scripture says they think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. But we need to look here and recognize the things that the Father delights in is not in a lot of the stuff that man delights in or prizes himself in, or look at this, look at me, look what I've accomplished, look what I've done, look what I have. That's all I'll say about that scripture. Let's keep moving. Let's go to the 10th chapter right here. You're right here at verse 9. He says in verse 23, he says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now, I've made reference to this scripture, but this is a scripture that I've looked at over the years. And when I have decisions in my life, when I have things coming up in my life, or when I'm at a place in my life where it just, you know something's in you, but you just don't know quite what it is, or you don't have quite, let me say it like this, you just don't have clarity. You pray about some things, direction, you're looking to the Lord. This is a scripture that I go to, and I humble myself before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. It's not even in me to try to direct myself anyway. You know, we looked at this back in Psalms, I think it was, and you know, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. People build things. They do things. They accomplish things. They make decisions. And it's not that these things are bad, but it's just not the Lord that built it. They did it themselves. See, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right to a man. In other words, he'll follow that way. Seems right to him. He'll go in that direction. But a lot of times it's death. It's not fruitful. It doesn't profit. When we acknowledge him and we go to him and humble ourselves and say, Lord, you're the one who directs. It's you, Lord. You're the one who weighs the spirits. Hallelujah. The preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16. And begin to acknowledge him and just, I mean, wait on him, pray, spend some time acknowledging. And, you know, things will begin to form in you. Things will begin to become clear. It'll get more stronger. There'll be a greater knowing. All the question marks and the confusion and the doubt about it begins to lift and leave. The fog lifts and we see and we know. And then we follow. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go to the 23rd chapter. Now, moving on from some of these quickly, like I said, because I don't want to get bogged down, because I want to cover a few other things. Because, like I said, we could spend a lot of time on this, but these are scriptures you can write down. You can go back and, you know, if you didn't get it now, you can come back and watch the broadcast later and jot these scriptures down. Go back and read and pray over them. You know, a lot of times I'll take scriptures and I'll just read a scripture, or just could be one scripture, and I pray over that scripture. Before I read it, when I turn to it, I say, Lord, and I begin to talk to the Lord and the Holy Ghost about it. And I acknowledge Him and ask Him to help me, to let me see things I haven't seen, to hear things on the inside that I haven't heard. And even to, there's other things that can be attached to what I have known about this scripture. Oh, glory to God. God has, He never runs out of spiritual gem clips. I mean, you know, when you get a gem clip, you attach another attachment or sheet or document. Oh, He never runs dry. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So, here we go. We're in 23, Jeremiah 23. Let me get there. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 28 says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff of the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? You know, sometimes you get into a hard place in your life. I'm talking about spiritually, can even be naturally. God said, he that has my word. That's why whatever situation you're in, I don't care if it's sickness, I don't care if it's a situation at work, I don't care if it's a situation with a relationship, go find a scripture. Go get you a scripture that covers your situation. Put it in your heart. Look at it. Begin to read it. Pray over it, like I said. Then begin to speak it out of your mouth. You have His word? Have you found your word? Then speak that word over your life. And even though it may seem hard, listen to me. God's not a mind. You don't try to reason this stuff out with your mind. We've already looked at the scripture. Do not lean to your own understanding. Don't try to reason. Don't try to figure this out with your mind. Get your mind renewed through and by the word. But put this stuff in your heart. Remember, it's a seed. If you'll get it in your heart and get it in your mouth, listen, it accomplishes. It prospers. It does things. It grows up and becomes greater. It becomes what that scripture is in your life. It brings that ability, what it's talking about in that word, to your life. And it manifests itself. And you can go to bed, Jesus said, and go to sleep. You may not understand how all this works, but if you'll do it and you'll give yourself to it, it will bear fruit in your life. His word is like a hammer. It will deal with something that's hard. It will crush it. It will get rid of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You ready? Let's go to the 29th chapter. Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Wonderful, wonderful scripture. You need to establish your heart knowing that God thinks certain things about you. What does He think? Well, He thinks bad things about you. Is that what that scripture says in verse 11? No, that would be thoughts of evil. He said, I think thoughts of peace and not of evil. God doesn't think evil of you. God so loves the world. God commended His love toward us, even when we were not lovely, when we were sinners. God's heart is toward you. God wants you to understand 24/7. Psalm 115 says, the Lord is mindful of us. The Lord is mindful of us. In other words, He's constantly thinking about you. You know, we're encouraged, and we should. We're encouraged through the scriptures to set our affection on him, on things above. We're encouraged to that he will keep us in peace as we keep our thoughts on him. But a lot of times, you know, we just look at that and we don't understand. We got to flip that record over and play the other side. You know, I used to have a wonderful stereo system. I had a Pioneer stereo system. Oh, glory. Back in the early 70s. Man, had that Technics turntable. We're talking classic vinyl. I didn't just play one side of that album, that record. I'd flip it over when it got to the end. Well, I'm telling you right now, you've got to flip it over, glory to God. And flip this coin over, as we say, and know that the Lord is mindful of you. Not only are we to set our thoughts on him, yes, but his thoughts are upon you. He's mindful of you. He thinks thoughts of you. These thoughts are good. They're wonderful things, even for your future, all the way to the end of your life. The Lord is mindful of us, Psalm 115 says. He's mindful of us and our children. What's on his mind? He wants to bless us. He wants to increase us more and more. Oh, glory to God. He wants to increase us more and more. That's what's on his heart. He wants to bless and he wants to increase you and your children and your children's children. That's the covenant that we have. Oh, hallelujah. You know, in Genesis, God showed up to Abraham and he said, I want to bless you and make you a blessing. I want to bless you and I want to make you a blessing. That's God's heart. Do you know that Galatians chapter 3 says, if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? If you are born again, you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs according to the promise. The promise of blessing. The promise, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham would come on you and me. It's his heart. That's what he thinks. Don't ever entertain or allow your heart or your mind to entertain that God thinks wrong of you. Thinks evil of you. God said in Isaiah, we looked at it two weeks ago, this is as the waters of Noah to me. You know, when I was down at the beach last week, on the way down, we saw a beautiful, twice, humongous, beautiful rainbows that were in the sky. And I'm talking about from one end to the other end, as beautiful as you wanted to see. Well, you know, God said, this is as the waters of Noah to me, Isaiah 54. Just like I swore that I would never cover the earth in that manner again, that the waters would cover the earth, I swear that I will never be wroth with you. I'll never be angry with you nor rebuke you. There's coming a time, there'll be a judgment day, what we call the great white throne judgment, but that's not right now. God's not mad at people. God loves people. God commended his love. I've mentioned this already. God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. For God so loved the world. Oh, glory to God. The only time Jesus would get upset with people is with religious people. And it's not that he didn't love those religious people. He just knew that mindset that they had and what they were trying to do to people would interfere with people truly receiving the power and the glory of God, the goodness of God in their lives. And God wants you to experience good. He wants to give you an expected end. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. 31, you ready? Can you hang with me for a few more? Chapter 31. Verse 29, it says, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Notice here he says, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Basically, what he's saying here, there's coming a time where the generational curse will come to an end. In other words, what the fathers do, then I'm going to visit the children with what they did, and even their children's children. The children's teeth will be set on edge because the father drank and tasted the sour grape. And it's going to pass down to the children. Now we see this over in John. Go with me to the Gospel of John right quick. Hold your place right here. Let's go to John 19. And let's look at this. John, the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter. Jesus presented his mother to John in the 27th verse of John 19. He said, "Behold thy mother." And he wanted his mother to be taken care of. Then look at verse 28. It says, "After this, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said," look at this, "he said, I thirst." He's connecting to what we just read over in Jeremiah 31. "He said, I thirst." In other words, he knew what was going to happen. He knew Jeremiah 31, what we was reading. "Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished." Hallelujah. The new covenant. Listen, we don't have to worry about a generational curse. Yes, is the devil familiar with people and their families and what runs in their families? Sure. It's called familiar spirits. But you don't have to concern yourself with a generational curse being upon you. Because if you've believed on him and you've accepted him and you've been born of his spirit, you've been delivered from that situation. He tasted he became the curse. He became the generational curse. Even fulfilling it to the point he said, "I thirst, give me that. Let me taste the sour grape. Let me taste that which is sour, the vinegar." And he put it to his mouth. He said, "It's done." Oh, hallelujah. You can stand. I'm telling you, I don't care what's running your family. If you're listening to me right now, you can stand up and say, "The jig is up. It stops here. I'm a child of God. This stuff ain't going to continue. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. I'm delivered from that kingdom and out from under that authority. And I'm over here now translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Son of His love." You stand on that, it'll stop. But you have to establish your heart in it. He said, "He that has my word, let him speak my word. Let him do it faithfully. It'll take care of the situation." Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Lamentations right quick. Now, let's go just through a few more, and we'll be done, and we'll close out here. Lamentations. Oh, praise you, Jesus. I went a little too far. Let me back up here a little bit. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to take Ezekiel. Keep going to the... No, we're back up. We're between the next book. It's right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 3, very familiar scripture that I've looked at many, many times in my life. Verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I can't tell you how many mornings I have awakened over the years and been so grateful that it's a new morning with new mercy. I know I'm getting a lot of witnesses out there. You know, it's like one guy said, he said, "Hey, you having a tough time? Is it rough? Has the day been awful? Then just go to bed. Because when you wake up, you've got new mercies. And God's faithfulness is there to help you with new mercies for a new day." Hallelujah. And it'll keep you from being consumed. Hallelujah. I like that. He said, "The Lord is my portion saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. A lot of times it's just good to get quiet. Just to get quiet. Get up in the morning, get quiet. Get with Jesus. Get with the Father. And just get quiet. Look at his word. Meditate. Let your heart be open and receptive to the truth and reality of God's love and his promise to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Amos chapter 3. Amos, the third chapter. You're going to have to move over now and get past Daniel, Joel, and then you'll come to Amos. This is a little scripture, but it's a powerful scripture. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, we know this even in the natural. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God there, he said, I beseech you that there be no divisions among you. And that you all have the same mind, and you all have the same judgment, and you speak the same thing. So he said, if you're divided as the church and as Christians, the way you're going to be divided is you're not going to think the same thing and you're not going to say the same thing. Well, let's just take this over and bring this to us and the Lord. You remember we looked at Isaiah 55. God's thoughts and his ways are higher than man's thoughts, the wicked man's thoughts, the unrighteous man's thoughts. But God sends his word to us so that we can know his thoughts. We can know his way, the way he is. It reveals to us who he is. I'll say it to you like this. Jesus is the living word. But the written word reveals to us the living word, brings revelation to our hearts of him. That's why grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of him. And you have to have the promises, the scriptures that bring this to you. Hallelujah. If we're going to walk with God and be in agreement with God, now listen to me, here's the point here. We know it's true with men. I've used this before. If you went in business with someone, you and someone else started a business, and you start out and you talk about this thing and you're in agreement, that's right. I like that. Yes, I agree with that. We're going to do that. And y'all talk about it. Notice you're talking, you're saying things, and you're in agreement. But if you go on for a little while and all of a sudden one of you begins to think something else, begins to say something else, then what you think and what you say about it, you know, that thing's not going to work. Well, likewise, when it comes to walking with God, if we're thinking something else other than what he's thinking or what his word says, and if we're saying things out of our mouth, we're speaking things that are contrary to what his word says about us and what Jesus accomplished for us, what he died and paid for us, if we're thinking something opposite, something contrary, if we're saying that, then we're not in agreement. If any two of you on earth shall agree, touch and agree. We'll talk about that later. But you have to be in agreement with God. And the way you're in agreement and you walk with God is you have the same mind and you speak the same thing. Just like you would with another Christian. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Zechariah, let's keep moving. We're getting close to the end here. Zechariah. Key scriptures in my life. Key scriptures that I've looked to. Wonderful, wonderful, exceeding great and precious promises that I've turned to and looked to in my life to help me, to have my heart established in. And I continue to look at these scriptures. This is a good one. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord. It's the word of who? Better pay attention, hadn't we? This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It goes back with some scriptures we look to in the book of Psalms where it's better to put your trust and confidence in the Lord than in man. You don't put your trust in horses and chariots. You don't put trust. You know, Jesus said people trust in uncertain riches. They're not certain. Yeah, they're riches, it's money, but it's not certain. I tell you what is certain. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. God said, I will not alter that thing that's come out of my mouth and out of my lips. It's forever settled. It's certain. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by our strength. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians chapter 6. We're not, God has never, ever wanted us to be strong in ourselves. Now, he's told us to be strong. He told Joshua, don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Do not fear. Be of good courage. Be strong. Be courageous. Why? Because he had said some things. He had spoken to him. He had given his word to him. God wants us to judge him faithful. God wants us to judge him faithful that what he said, he will do. He's not a man that he should lie. Praise the Lord. But he wants us to depend on his word. See, God said, I'll watch over my word. You don't have to scotch for God's word. He can handle it. He'll watch over it. It's his spirit. It's his power. It's his anointing. It's his grace. It's his love. It's his loving kindness. That's why God wants us to delight in that. He said, I don't want you to delight in your riches, in your wisdom. That's not what I want you to focus on. That's not what I take pleasure in. What I take pleasure in is you know who I am, that you understand that it's me, my loving kindness, my righteousness that I provide for you, my spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we'll close with this. Malachi chapter 3. For time's sake, we'll just close out with this. This has been an important scripture in my life. He says, verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And I like verses 13 and 14. He says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we should have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? I'm going to stop right here. I know a lot of people say, well, this is old covenant. Tithing's under the old covenant, all that kind of deal. Listen, I'm not going to debate and argue with you. The bottom line is, we're the seed of Abraham. Jesus is forever, forever, and will forever be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. If you're born again, you are the seed of Abraham. He's the father of us all, Abraham, the father of faith. We do things in faith. The law is not of faith. Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek, and he didn't do it because there was a law. He did it in faith. He's the father of faith because it's a trust issue. I said it's a trust issue, not a law issue. It's a heart issue. And I have realized over the years to trust the Lord. He's been so good and faithful in what he's given and what he's blessed me with in my life. I can honor him with my substance. I can bring to him the first fruit. I can bring to him at least a tithe and honor him with it. Just like Abraham did Melchizedek, because Jesus is forever a high priest after that order. And even Hebrews 7 tells us that he that lives, Jesus, he receives even today that which we bring to him of the tithe. You know, he took the curse. We're not under a curse now. He redeemed us from the curse, but he did not redeem us from the blessing. Think about that. He loves you. He's not about trying to curse you. Even if a person has a tithe or given their tithes, he's not interested in trying to curse people. See, God's thinking thoughts of good towards you, not evil. You got to interpret Scripture with Scripture. However, you're not redeemed from the blessing. You're redeemed from the curse. He wants you to experience the blessing. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have the abundant life. That's why he came. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Sometimes people get over in this area and then they'll start saying things about tithing and giving and these kind of things. And the Lord talks about that. He says, your words have been stout against me. And they say, what do you mean? Our words are stout. And he said, you have said it's vain. And what profit is it? Let me say some other things. People say stuff, well, this stuff doesn't work. You know, what's the use? I mean, I've given, I paid my tithe. You know, what's the use? I haven't seen any good out of it. Please don't say things like that. It's vain. It's vanity. It's stout. There becomes a breach in the spirit, Proverbs says, when you say things like that. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God because you're saying things that are of corrupt communication. It's not of goodness and grace. It's not of the Lord. God still loves you, but there's a sever there. It's spiritually speaking. Let me say this to you. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, they said right here, what profit is it? Now let me tell you something. Anytime you honor God with anything of your life, of yourself, of your time, of your money, the Bible says godliness is profitable. Now listen to me. Godliness, things that you honor God with. Because see, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. See, that's why I said it's a trust issue. It's a heart issue. Money is always connected to your heart according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not according to Roger. According to what he said. So, I mean, I'm not saying this to put us down. I'm not saying this to bring any condemnation. I'm saying this so that we can understand and know. See, God says, what I delight in is that you know me. That you go to my word and you'll know my ways. My words will reveal my ways in my heart and my thoughts. But he wants us to profit. So we don't need to speak against it. You remember we talked, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? When you get out of agreement with God, then you're thinking something different than what he thinks. And you're saying something that's totally different. But see, godliness is profitable. It's profitable for the life that now is and the life to come. Let me tell you something. Honoring God with your finances and sowing seed, financial seed, not only will benefit and profit you in this life, but it'll also cause you to lay up in store for the time to come. You lay up treasure in heaven as well. It profits both the life that now is and the life which is to come. And it has been a major, major blessing in my life. And it's been very important to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, that's enough. God willing, next week we'll move over into the new covenant. We'll get into the Gospels. We'll go forward. And we'll look at a lot of wonderful scriptures. Now, listen, we're going to be in this for a while. But it's okay because we're establishing our heart before the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. I don't want to take this for granted. You may be watching me and you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior. You know, the Bible says The devils believe and tremble. But demons are not saved. But they still believe that Jesus was, and they know that he came. But see, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about he came for you. He gave his life for you. He went to the cross for you. For you. And he shed his blood. And he was buried, and God raised him from the dead. And he's alive today. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he did all this for you. And now all you have to do is receive him into your heart. Confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Open your heart and just invite him into your life right now. Will you do that with me right now? If the Spirit of God, if there's just something on the inside of you that's pulling on your heart. See, the Lord's not trying to pressure you, but if you just feel that something there, you may be a little nervous on the inside. I don't know. I remember the first time I heard the gospel and altar call was given. Man, I thought my heart was started beating a little faster. But see, it wasn't that the Lord was trying to bring fear to me. It's just in my own heart. My own spirit knew that I needed salvation. I needed a Savior. I needed him. See, my own heart knew that. And if that's you tonight, or wherever, whatever time you watch this broadcast, will you just say this from your heart? Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I surrender to you. I invite you into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I confess you as my Lord. I believe that you died for me and that you were raised for me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for washing me in your blood and cleansing me from all unrighteousness. I thank you that I'm your child, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. And I ask you to help me and teach me from this day forward. Show me things I need to see. Teach me, Lord. Guide me from this day forward. Help me to know you. Help me to receive and experience the eternal life that you talked about. Help me to know you more from this day forward. I thank you for it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen." Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for joining us, family. Thank you for joining us, friends. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, tell somebody. Tell somebody, say, "Hey, I was watching this crazy guy on Facebook Live, or I was watching the rebroadcast of it, and God dealt with my heart, and I asked Jesus into my life." Get with some believers who love the Word of God, who are not ashamed, and fellowship. And get in the Word of God. Establish your heart. He's coming soon. God bless you. We will see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Have a great week.